We all realize that there exist multiple structures of living beings whose morphologies and functions genetically inherited from their ancestors have seemed to you to depend on two types of conditioning factors, the physical and eco-biological environment and on the other hand, possible alterations in the nucleic acids provoked by the aggression of microphysical elements, notations caused by radiations, etc. The very rich and complex fauna you have observed on Earth, not so rich or varied on Ammo, has made you think that the number of possible species is infinite. Under this supposition, and within the limits it's naturally imposed by physical conditions totally adverse to the development of complex carbon compounds. You might think that on other planets with very marked geophysical differences there can exist fabulous thinking beings whose somatic structurization might appear monstrous. Nothing is further from the reality. In fact, planets that we have known and whose characteristics of atmosphere, mass, the star around which they orbit, etc., different from Earth and Ammo, harbor in some cases humanoid creatures with similar mental structure, but whose bodies present only accidental anatomophysiological differences, different statures, varied epidermis, organ development, cranial size and brain surface, etc. In reality there are laws, which we shall explain on another occasion, which condition the orthogenesis of creatures, permitting at most an indefinite number of different forms when the biophysical environment requires it, but always provided that these various forms be compatible with a biological substratum or universal pattern that tolerates only circumstantial and superficial modifications. In reality, a complex series of patterns is involved. See note 28. When an environment is excessively hostile, it does not come about that a species perishes after attempting to adapt itself to it with a frustrated mutation, it is simply impossible for the new species to appear. Hence an immense multitude of planets exist on which no living creatures are found, or expressed another way. Only planets with characteristics similar to ours harbor species which in their average evolutionary forms differ from those known to you, but which conserve traits common to the species already familiar to you, similar nerve and circulatory systems, bone and tissue structures with different forms but with physiological and cytoplasmic foundations already known in their general lines. But the differences are still less in the oligocellular or primary creatures and in the other scale, in the complex phyla, anthropoida. We establish criteria in order to differentiate the superior or intelligent anthropoid from the inferior animal, even though the latter may possess anthropoidal characteristics like those of Earth primates. It is the presence of the third factor Omu-Am that we shall describe farther on. And we call Mei the somatic complex, material and therefore perceptible to our sensory organs, that you term Homo sapiens. Differences between the terrestrial people and those from Ammo. We have just pointed out that the thinking beings existing on the relatively few inhabited planets, see note 29, do not differ excessively from us. We have been surprised by the fantasies engendered by your novelists and even earth biologists who postulate the existence of beings based on the chemical silicon, or intelligent pluripodous, monophthalmic monsters with gelatinous skin, etc., etc. Naturally, being ignorant of that series of laws, you Earthmen are in a cultural stage in which such hypotheses proliferate and cause scientists to speculate. We know that a phylogenetic hypothesis postulating an excessive amount of liberty for the genetic message to be translated into all kinds of superior biological body types is incorrect. If the ecological environment is propitious and analogous to the one we know on our respective Oia, the appearance of humans as you term them, or Demia according to our language, will be possible. If, contrarywise, the biophysical conditions are adverse in the degree and estimation we indicate below, yes, the appearance of other living non-rational beings will be possible, see note 30, Hut never thinking beings. Although to offer you a list of all the physical conditions necessary would be complicated, we have chosen some of the most important. Those planets which do not possess definite features within such limits will not be host to human or thinking beings, who necessarily have to be like us in their anatomy. Sexual and conjugal life of Ummerman. During the primary phase in the lives of our children, the parents are entrusted with their postnatal and adolescent, haarwachsen, training. But from age of 13.7 Earth years, what you call patriopostas passes to Council of Ummo, the youngsters. Boys and girls are transported to great distant centers, Unoue, veritable cities equipped with all possible systems facilitating the integration of the individual into a social pattern, a true biosocial model of what will later be for them the social network of Ummo. The maturing of the child is checked against standard mental patterns. It is our Samuyuva network, a complex of calculators that regulates in part the development of Ummo, which detects in each case the threshold levels conventionally tolerated as symptoms of such maturing. At the same time, the Samuyuva makes available to the parents at every moment the audiovisual means for the education in all grades and subjects, adapting them to the particular personal traits of the child affected. Thus sexual education is considered a subject on our Ummo. Never in history have we known it to be considered on Earth a taboo in the social structure. However, this type of education has aspects different from those familiar to you. Even though any restriction in the visual presentation of the biophysical aspects of such processes would be considered absurd, in the boy and girl students it induces a peculiar feeling of modesty, according to which the body devoid, free for, of covering can be shown only to the future spouse. Boys and girls learn that in exceptional cases, one's immediate superior, whatever his or her sex or age, parents, educators, bosses and such, may, if he desires, although this happens rarely, order the individual to undress, and it is precisely the relative infrequency of this that causes the greatest reaction of shame when it does take place, see note 35. When the superior belongs to the other sex, or his or her age is lower, such punishment constitutes a humiliating affront hardly comprehensible to men of Earth. The woman always covers her thorax, breast, thighs, arms, head, throat, hands, feet, and lips are not erogenous areas to us, so the kiss has no significance. Generators of sexual pleasure in the highest degree are sexual organs, breasts, belly, buttocks, rumpy, and back. When we must submit to any process that you would call surgical, chirurgy, in cases of trauma affecting any bodily area, the epidermis is covered with mucosa, a pigment that colors the skin with polychromatic blotches. One of the serious penalties, strif, provided for in the laws of Ummo consists precisely in publicly depriving, frater, the infractor of his clothes and exposing him in a transparent temperature-controlled chamber. This still applicable sanction is now no longer employed, but it was relatively frequent during epochs not far in the past. We inhabitants of Ummo have a body whose physiological form is very much like that of Homo sapiens of Earth. This is logical if you consider that biogenetic laws are valid for the entire universe and that when the environment is analogous, the biological structure undergoes few variations. Therefore, we are not people you would call monsters. Only a few slight anatomical differences distinguish us from you. In many of our brothers, the speech organs are hypertrophied and we replace this sclerosis, forkulning, by artificial means of verbal expression. Our race is older than yours and so has reached a higher level of civilization. Our social structure is different. We are governed by four members chosen through psychophysiological evaluations. Our laws are regulated according to constant sociometric measurements over time. Accordingly, our economic system is different. We know nothing of money in view of the fact that the transactions in the few goods of value existing on Ummo take place through a network of what you would call electronic brains. Goods of normal consumption hardly have a value because their abundant production greatly exceeds the demand. Our society is profoundly religious. We believe in a creator, Woa, or God, and we have scientific arguments in favor of the existence of a factor that you would call the soul. We recognize a third factor, Thor, united to the body and is composed of atoms of krypton lodged in the encephalic mass. Our customs are also very different. There are no differences of race, and the zoological species and varieties are less numerous. We have no intention of interfering in the social evolution of your planet for two transcendent reasons. A cosmic morality prohibits all paternalistic attitudes toward planetary social systems, which are to grow gradually, each on its own. Furthermore, any public intervention on our part, our own official presentation, would produce grave changes and incalculable social disturbances, and in this way our study and analysis of your society would no longer be possible as they are now in the present conditions of virginity. Our modest attempts to communicate, as we are now doing with you, will not, on the other hand, cause much commotion, Opster, because we foresee the natural skepticism with which they will be greeted. Our numbering system is 12. So as a curious bit of information, we include here a table with some mathematical algorithms as we transcribe them, not included in this summary. An incredible letter. Next is a summary from an incredible letter to Villa Grassi about the visitors from Amu and their contact to the author of this letter. Received the 6th of June 1967 in the evening. Señor D. Enrique Villa Grassi. Madrid. The 4th of June 1967. Dear Sir. A few months ago I wrote you a letter about a meeting that we had planned but which, as I'll explain farther on, could not be held. I am the gentleman who up to now has been typing what the gentlemen from the planet Amu have been dictating to me. You have surely heard about everything that has been happening these days, and I couldn't resist the temptation to be frank with you. I think what has happened exceeds anything that one can imagine. You recall in my last letter I told you my story which, if it were told to many people, they would think I was crazy, but you know them and can understand me. Even my wife, who up to a few days ago was quite skeptical and thought they were spies, you know already that when a woman gets something into her head, she doesn't reason and there is no one who can convince her with arguments. Has had to give in before the evidence and what has been happening, because now maybe people who don't know anything about this are right in not believing it, but we who have lived it, and I think I have lived throughout more of it than you, would have to be crazy not to admit the facts. During the months since I wrote you, more things have happened. Do you remember the proposition we made to this gentleman to whom they were writing a great deal and who is a professor of medicine? Who is skeptical and doesn't even think they come from Amu, although I suppose he may have changed his opinion now. Well, on their return they learned about this and got rather angry. They forbade us from going on with planning the meeting, indicating that they would cut off all contact with us if we did continue, and giving as a reason that we had promised to keep the affair secret. I went to visit the doctor and he received me in a state of worry about the matter. He told me that everything was very strange and confused. I don't see it as confused and even less so now. He told me he admitted that the events were quite extraordinary and that he maintained a correspondence with another doctor in North America with whom they, our mites, were also corresponding and that, yes, he believed they were extraterrestrials, but that he could not admit it because he said it was absurd. Absurd he may think it. But no one can convince me now of the contrary, and that he thought it was some commission from some state for purposes unknown to us, why look for problems where there are none? So this gentleman may be a professor and very intelligent, but some things, if they don't believe them, have to be explained more logically, but giving no explanation is even the more absurd. Anyway, he recognized that they were exceptional strangers with erudition and procedures unknown in medicine. And he recognized that he owed them a lot and that the gentlemanly attitude would be to comply with their request and not call a meeting of everybody we know personally by letter or telephone as we had then planned. The wife of this professor, who was with us, because I always went with my wife, also felt that we should comply with keeping the secret as they asked. In fact, she was more of a believer than her husband. Of course, to tell the truth. He didn't say it wasn't the truth, but only that he doubted it before he finally admitted it. At this point other gentlemen from Imo came to our house. I knew one who did not speak, and another one who was older and who had spent a lot of time in South America. These days we have had a lot of work. In addition to which I know they are also dictating letters to another gentleman who is an administrative assistant. I wrote under dictation to other gentlemen to whom we had not written before, all of them in Madrid except one in Valencia, this last one also a doctor, and the others are an engineer of the ICAI, a writer, a university professor of exact sciences, and to others whose professions I don't know. I talked by phone with the professor of exact sciences and he was quite intrigued and asked me a lot of questions, but finally told me that he thought I was the one who had been writing the papers covering some questions he asked about a thing called theory of reticula in its application to stochastical processes. If you could have seen how surprised he was by the answer they gave him. It took a lot of work to make him see that I had not studied mathematics and was not a professor as he said I was. On the other hand, they have stopped writing to some of the gentlemen, for example the industrial engineer. On account of all this, my brother-in-law, who had been told what was happening, had a quarrel with me because he thought the affair could get us into serious trouble, but when they don't give any reasons, I don't accept advice. So I answered by asking him to tell me what kind of trouble could happen to me. Because when I type things they dictate to me, I am not doing anything against the law. The truth is that he was more scared than I was because he finally became convinced that they were telling the truth in saying they came from Imo. But from having dealt with them I am convinced they are the best people I have ever seen in my lifetime. We of Earth would like to be as free of malice, ONSCAP, as they are. And so understanding and impartial in comprehending the most intimate things. Just to hear the gentleness and earnestness with which they reprehend and say things makes their portrait. And don't think they are fools, even when they glance at you, they seem to be looking through you. But toward the close of last year they dictated some things to me in which they said to one of their correspondents that one of their interplanetary ships was going to come between January and May. In fact, on a visit from two of them on Sunday, 14 May, I noticed that something was in the wind because they dictated a letter that amazed me because it was a commercial letter going to Australia, requesting information about thermoacoustic insulating panels. They had never dictated anything like this. The most curious feature was that they brought some sheets and a stamped envelope with the name of a Madrid commercial firm specializing in the decorating of commercial premises. Out of curiosity I went to that address and know that it is an architect we had never written before. Besides, they began coming to the house with more assiduity to dictate things of a scientific nature, but on the other hand they were paying less attention to this matter because a recently written report was reviewed by their superior, named D98, who had ordered me to mail it immediately. Now, for a change. They are dictating more things and they gave me a sort of agenda of instructions by which to mail them out at greater intervals on different dates to each person. For example, something I send you about a mathematical problem of the Abozua, I had been keeping longer waiting for the date marked down for it on Corpus Christi Day. They phoned for me at 11 o'clock in the morning. I was not in and my wife answered. They said they would call again at 2. The gentleman in charge of them, D98, came to the telephone and asked if he could talk with my Yai, they call wives Yai, and me at 6 in the afternoon about a matter that was important to them. I said yes, and worriedly consulted my wife on it because he insisted that there be no one else in the house at that time besides us. There must be some universal reason for this secrecy imperative because we find it in so many UFO contact cases throughout the world. It is almost as if there was some universally understood reason why these activities should remain carefully restricted. Publisher. At that Ardell 98 arrived with another gentleman I did not know and whom he introduced to me as Eoda 3. This gentleman did not utter a word. We gathered in the dining room and Dell 98 told my wife and me they were expecting by 31 May or perhaps a bit sooner, one of their ships which would land in Madrid, and for this reason many of their brothers, they call each other brother although they are not blood relatives, had come to Madrid. They wanted from us what they called a great favor. He said that on the following day the lady who was the superior or chief of all the Amites who are here on earth, would arrive in Madrid. He said she was coming from Singapore via London, and that they had begun to study the matter of her lodging, and preferred to spend the night in a private home rather than in a hotel, subject to acceptance of the plan by my wife and me, but begging us not to feel the slightest obligation, and if we foresaw any inconvenience or felt any fear about it, to tell them in all frankness. My wife hurried to say yes, but that she felt embarrassed because our house lacks the comforts of a hotel. However, she said she could sleep in our double bed, and we would either make ourselves comfortable in the sofa bed or else, if necessary, we would go to my mother-in-law's home. I for my part said the only preoccupation was finding some explanation in case the concierge found out, although it would really be no big problem because we could say, for example, that they were friends we met on our vacation in Malaga, of Swedish nationality. Den98 explained that the persons who would overnight would be two women who one, daughter of AN 368, and another sister who, as I will explain, must have been at the same time her secretary and maid. I'll tell you shortly, because we had time to talk with her, and he also told us something that astounded us, that in no way would she sleep in our bed while we lay down out here, that we should choose an available room for her and she would sleep on the floor, and that her companion would not be sleeping while her superior was doing so. On 26 May at 7 in the evening there came a Su-3 son of Agu 28, whom I already knew because he had dictated things to me for various people, along with the same silent gentleman of the day before. They carried an average leather suitcase, very modern and of medium size, which we believed would be the things of the two ladies who were to come. They chatted with us after asking to look at all the rooms. They said they were waiting for nightfall in order to do something. Their superior would arrive around 10:30. We also learned that in the street several more brothers were waiting. They did not want to accept anything but water. It was getting dark when they asked us to turn off the light in the dining room and to open up the balcony wide. The one who did not speak Spanish remained seated motionless with his eyes closed as if hypnotized, and the other one took out what looked like a ballpoint pen, and this began to emit a continuous buzz that went higher and lower because something was being communicated to them. Meanwhile, the other one awakened from time to time and spoke to him in their language. Night had now fallen. It was about 10:20 and they put the suitcase in front of the balcony and opened it. My wife and I were seated without saying a word, and very impressed. Since across the street from us there is a neon sign of an electric appliance shop, we saw all they were doing even though our lights were turned out. First they looked carefully to see if there was anyone on the balconies which, although not across from us in the other facade of the building, are not far away. Then they began to take out of the suitcase things like metallic balls the size of a tennis ball and other smaller ones. I had already seen one months before. It is something extraordinary. They stay in the air and go to all heights as if controlled by radio. In addition, they took out two more things, although they couldn't be seen well, were shaped like this, picture not here. In all they removed some 20 or more of different kinds. One by one they took them out on the balcony and, as if they were little bubbles or balloons, they disappeared towards the street. At least four more passed near the roof bordering the lamp and floated into the hallway of the house. Here is the first detailed explanation of the purpose and use of the mysterious mini-sons reported in so many UFO close encounter cases. Here again, because of their widespread employment by many different ET visitors, this must be a nearly universal technology completely unknown to us at this time. Publisher. Then they asked our permission and went into the hallway, and we heard the door to the street open. When they came back, the suitcase was empty. All this time the one who did not know Spanish was manipulating a metal rod with a disc in the center. At 10:45 the doorbell rang. Most surprising was that, while chatting with us, Asu told us that they had arrived at the street door and, although I know that the gate does not close until later, they said it was not wise to go down to receive them. Nervously we opened the door for them. Accompanied by Del 98 were two young ladies. One of them was taller and the other much younger and petite. They wore very modern elkskin coats, the larger girl a maroon color and the younger one a slight green. The one we now knew to be the superior. She carried a plastic flight bag with the airline acronym DE. They carried no other luggage. Both were blonde and wore their hair loose. They were dressed in a modern but tasteful fashion. The small one, who was the chief, with an English accent and speaking Spanish very badly although understandably, addressed my wife and said something to the effect that she thanked her from the heart for the hospitality of the country of Spain. We all went into the dining room after the two men who had come earlier took leave. In W whole life I have never felt more at ease, for when Missy won, my wife and I sat down, the larger girl, whose name was something like a Wu 120 or so, and Del 98, who is the man who has most impressed me in my life with his infinite intelligence, remained standing, which was very unnatural, and that I criticize even if it was out of respect for their superior, because they ought to have realized that my wife and I felt very strained. For example, since nothing escapes me, I noticed that every time she asked for something, they lowered their eyes when answering as if they did not dare to look at her. She is little more than a youngster, she can't be over 19 so far as we know, but she looks 16. The other girl looked some 23 or 25. Of course, what most surprised my wife was that she, the youngest of all those here, was the one in command, so she blurted it out. The three of them laughed and the superior said that we must not think that on Amu the young girls are in command, that this depends on many factors. We talked a great deal about Spanish customs. The only thing that disgusted them was the bulls. Nothing was said about the planet Amu. She asked a lot of questions about the Spanish government, she knew about many things, the referendum and even the Cortes. I told her that we did not want to mix in politics since the Reds killed my father in the war. I was astounded by what she knew. My wife listened to her timidly without daring to say anything. She realized this and very gently began to talk about Spanish cooking, then remarked that she was saddened to learn that Spanish women read little and are not given an intellectual education as are the men, and she was sure their femininity is never lost with greater education. Then she looked at the other girl with a smile and the latter opened the traveling bag and handed my wife a marvelous home encyclopedia with color plates in Spanish. We had supper there. My wife was amazed because the two women forced her to let them help her. What surprised us more is that they ate like us, but refused to take wine. They had already told us they wanted a sample meal, and my wife had prepared beforehand baked potatoes, boiled eggs, and for them fruit, oranges and bananas. Another absurd thing is that throughout the meal the superior insisted so much on helping my wife that when it was over, she, the superior, washed the pots while her secretary remained standing without helping, as my wife told me afterwards. Her timidity had left her by then and they chatted a great deal while they were drying the dishes. I stayed at the table talking with Del 98. Another thing that surprised us was that before starting to eat they requested permission to remove their shoes. The older girl knelt and with naturalness took off the shoes of their superior, and then the two of them removed their own footwear. Seated during the supper, they did not speak unless she directed questions to them. The most strained moment came now, for they very discreetly asked permission to retire. Again we bade them to use our bed or at least the sofa bed, but it was useless. Del 98 went out on the street. I learned he was heading for a nearby hotel where they had set up a kind of temporary official center for themselves. I believe this was with the sole mission of protecting Mr. A. Besides that I think there were several of them walking about in the area all night. I say it was a very unnatural situation because she wouldn't even let my wife give her a blanket. She told us smilingly that she was not know what to do or say. The older girl, who spoke much better Spanish than her superior, asked our permission to throw something on the floor, telling us not to worry because on the following day there would be nothing there nor would the floor tiles be damaged in any way. She took out what looked like a nickel-plated cylinder and an incredible quantity of yellow foam came out of it and left her big patch on the floor like varnish, black. We did not dare even to ask about it. Miss Ui stayed in it and we three went out. The other girl said she would not lie down but would stay all night in the hallway. When we went into our bedroom, we were so nervous and worried that we did not dare to undress. I don't know why, but it occurred to my wife to make me more nervous by saying that maybe the police might come, as if we were committing a crime or doing something bad. We sat on the bed without talking for 20 minutes, then my wife goes and says she wanted to knock in case they needed anything. Afterwards she told me about it. The older girl was walking up and down in the hallway with her arms crossed. In a low voice my wife asked if she could bid her good night and ask her if she needed anything. The other said that in fact it would be a courtesy and for her to go in without knocking. My wife had been about to rap on the door but the other one told her obligingly to just go in because she was sure she was not sleeping yet. The two of them went in. Our dining room has a large table and there is a little table in one corner near the balcony. The balcony was half open. The light was off, but my wife says that on the floor beside her and the little table there was something like a disc a bit larger than a 50 peseta coin that was phosphorescing a great deal and she could be seen quite well. She sat up and my wife asked if she wanted anything, that she was nervous thinking she might be uncomfortable. My wife says she had on a big kind of bathrobe. As the light was tenuous, she could not distinguish the material. They spoke a few words and left again. In the corridor she spoke with the other woman. They talked a long time in low voices. This señorita turned out to be married, with a husband on Amo, and she had been selected for our planet. There on Amo she was, as we would say, a teacher of a specialty of mathematics and her mission on Earth my wife did not know how to explain very well, but apparently it was related to the study of the history of the physicists who were here in bygone ages. While in Mexico she had committed a disobedience and it seems she was being punished by having to serve her chief as a maid. In short, a long story. We got up early. The two women were already chatting in the dining room. They requested permission to go into the bathroom. First the older of them bathed and who stayed out talking with me. Then she went in too. A strange thing that my wife observed was that they had not used the towels or soap in spite of the fact that the bathtub had been used. The yellow patch on the floor was no longer there. Nothing could be found even with a magnifying glass. They wanted no breakfast but insisted that we have ours. Another thing occurred. While one was talking with us, the other woman stood looking closely at all the dining room furniture. The younger one noticed it and this time in their language she said something in a tone that sounded gentle to us, but the older woman, blushed, her lips wibbled and her eyes moistened. W pretended not to notice this and continued talking. They left early and returned that night. We shall never forget the conversations we had with that young woman. My wife was so impressed that she confessed to me that now she truly believes they were from Amo. Furthermore, that same day, the 27th, Del 98 came and dictated several things to me, among them letters you would receive. One told of the arrival in Brazil, Bolivia and Spain of their interplanetary ships. He dictated more reports and said he would continue doing so Sunday and Tuesday because he did not know if their superior would give all of them orders to depart, but he suspected she would, because he knew no one would be coming off the ship and that all his brothers had received orders to leave the other countries they were in and to group themselves in Brazil, Bolivia and Spain. I asked him whether they would be coming back and he said he did not even know for sure if they were leaving. I asked him if she would know, or whether she was expecting orders on reaching the ships, and he said it was not necessary to wait for the ships in order to learn the orders. They call the ship so Aliueba M. He said she knew but was not accustomed to giving explanations to her subordinates. He said that just in case, he himself would dictate a few more reports so that in case they left I could send them to certain people on definite dates. In fact, he gave me three more reports to type for three people living in Paris and Lyon, written in French. The next day, Sunday, Wu-1 returned in the afternoon without her companion but accompanied by a Su-3 and another man unknown to me, very young, and who did not speak Spanish either, or did not wish to speak it. They gave me some little packages to mail and an envelope for me, asking that I not open it, although a Su-3 asked me when we were alone to keep my identity secret whatever happened, for if they returned to Earth, I and another gentleman were their only contacts in Spain. I took leave of us Thursday morning, saying that they would not be sleeping any more in our house, that they would spend the night on the outskirts of Madrid. Del 98 came to pick her up and they entered a taxi whose number I wrote down. We hated to see them go. I haven't seen them since. Tuesday was the 30th of May. They were picked up the evening, 1 June. From newspapers I learned that the ship arrived. In one of the papers they even had photographs of it. All Wednesday night my wife and I were walking about in the area of the Casa de Campo y Argules because they told us the landing was most probable in Wednesday rather than Thursday. On Thursday we were in University City, La Ciudad Universitaria, area, until 11 at night and, since we weren't seeing anything, dead for sleep, we retired. The following afternoon we found out about it in the daily newspaper Pueblo and bought all the afternoon papers to look for news. We also called SIC, by phone but there was no answer. For some time now I had had no doubt about them. But this experience, in case any doubt were left, finally convinced me and my wife. I didn't know if I was dreaming. If it weren't for you who were receiving their letters, and also my wife, who has now met them, and my brother-in-law, and the news reports in the newspapers, I would have thought I was crazy. This was the greatest experience of my life, and if it weren't for their having asked me to use discretion, I wouldn't care if they took me for crazy and would shout it to the four winds. Only one thing worries me now: why did they go that way, so suddenly, and furthermore all of them? Sunday night my wife and I had a long chat with her. She, I, gave us marvelous tips about meals and about how to train the children. We talked about the space flights of the Americans to the moon, and she told us things about astronomy that left us with our mouths open, to the point that I, who in the beginning had been bothered by the fact that she were no more than a lass, unctient, now felt dominated by her. I don't know how the scrap between Egypt and the Jews came up, but I asked her opinion and she said for us to be calm, that there would be no world war, but then she became pensive, thankful, and the two of them looked at each other very significantly. Then, as if realizing that we had caught that glance, she repeated in a steady voice that we should rest assured there would be no such war. But I have been thinking the matter over. Why did they all leave so suddenly? It's said that rats abandon ships about to sink. They have been making their studies, have been dictating scientific reports and other things to me, and suddenly. Was she telling us there would be no war in order to tranquilize us the way they lie to children in wartime before a bombardment? They are well informed about politics and economics. Before the explosion of the Chinese boob, Del 98 announced it to me with the exact time, and then the newspapers reported it, which made me think perhaps my wife was right and they were spies. At last I've unburdened myself to you, because I had to. Tonight I intend to write another letter to another gentleman who has been receiving the reports. I offer you my friendship, for you and I have been witnesses of this. Comma note, a serious effort is being made to collect as many of these documents, notes and letters as possible, from all parts of the world. The Spanish group alone has over 1,000 pages, and estimate possibly that many more exists. We have included a listing of the documents in the hands of the Spanish group in the appendix to the org.book. Note that World Intelligence Services have meddled Beskchftiger's egg extensively in this strange affair. Amo is a water planet with a molten core, a relatively thin crust and a secondary atmosphere very much like that of Earth. It has most of the kinds of life on its surface, though considerably less variety in species. Its humanity is similar to that of Earth.